It's Friday, September 19th, 2014, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 80, Elevators as a Lethal Weapon. Runtime for this episode is 40 minutes. Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast where we speculate whether or not Sailor Pluto lost her powers when Pluto was demoted to planetoid. My name is Jeremy.
And I'm now wondering whether any of the other asteroids beyond Pluto have Sailor representatives. I'm Tyler.
There's a fanfic for that.
Well, keeping it on Earth specifically, I'm confirming there's absolutely nothing along I-80.
Oh, that's... Wait, I-80? I've never been on I-80 in my life. How the...
There's nothing out there until Utah. Trust me. Oh, I was one city away.
I-80 is the one that goes, like, kind of southwest, right?
You get to, I can never think, Laramie, Wyoming, and then you just cut straight west, and that's I-80.
Okay, I've lied. I've driven that all the way to California several times.
Yeah, there's nothing there. That's why you don't remember doing it.
The U.S. interstates need magical girl personifications.
I-80 Chan?
Yeah.
That would make them so much more memorable.
Yeah, and like on the exit you're getting on the I-75.
Yay!
I-75, of course, is a... God damn it, I forgot the name of that term.
Interstate?
Oh. Tsundere. There we go.
Oh.
You can be on me if you want, I guess. I'll go first because I haven't been playing stuff, but I've been binging Sailor Moon.
The new one or the old one?
Both.
You can't really binge the new one.
There are 4 episodes out.
Ah, okay.
But I'd only seen the first one, and I'm like, oh yeah, Sailor Moon Crystal, I should get caught up on that.
Does she still have Sonic the Hedgehog eyes?
Yeah, the animation is slowly getting better. Like, Sailor Mercury and Sailor Mars transformation sequence are amazing, which just makes me more sad every time I have to watch Sailor Moon's, which is, it's not good. And also, the episode titles are really disappointing for anime.
Oh, they aren't like, Flash and New Strobe in the Night!
No, the first one is Usagi Sailor Moon.
Uh-huh.
The second one is Ami, Sailor Mercury. The fourth one is Masquerade Dance Party. So that we're getting somewhere. But then episode 6 is going to be Tuxedo Mask, Tuxedo Mask.
To be fair, having watched a few of the older ones, at least they're getting the full cast out there faster.
Well, people have argued that's to this series' detriment, because also Chris Sims, my man crush and mentor and like the guy I want to be, has started a new podcast called Sailor Business, where he and the co-hosts watch every episode of the original Sailor Moon and talk about them. And they've talked about how great all the filler is because you get to see Usagi as a terrible superhero for 13 episodes before she gets joined by someone competent.
Oh, man, that's actually incredibly accurate.
I recently watched episode 4, which is called Learn How to Lose Fat from Usagi, where she's gaining weight, so she goes to the gym, and the Negaverse people make an evil gym that's stealing the energy of girls, and they brainwash...
I think I remember that episode.
They brainwash a bunch of weightlifters to defend them, and Sailor Moon's like, I don't want to fight them, they're strong, Luna, and Luna's like, if you fight really hard, you might lose some weight, and she, like, turns on a dime, straight up falcon punches the dude, and it's like, I must lose weight. It's amazing.
Oh, man. I could see that being like a Kung Fu Master's ultimate move. Usagi Fist! I don't know. Rabbit Punch, I think.
Yeah. It's Moon Rabbit Punch.
Why is that not her ultimate move? Why
Moon Rabbit Punch?
Instead of
Moon Tiara Boomerang is pretty good.
Oh, that is true. Although Moon Rabbit Punch...
Yeah.
I guess that's more of a martial arts anime thing than a magical girl anime.
The original manga translated her name as Bunny.
Oh, really?
Which makes her seem even more bimbo than she already is. Which is probably why they decided to change it.
Oh, that's right. Her name is Serena in the English dub.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. When I first played the Sailor Moon RPG, I'm like, who the hell is this Usagi person?
There's an RPG?
Yeah, it's a...
There are a couple Super Nintendo ones.
Oh.
The one I played is, I don't know, it's like Super Sailor Warriors R or something. It's actually remarkably good for being a Sailor Moon knockoff RPG.
R stands for romance.
Are you sure it doesn't stand for revenge?
Yeah, yes, I am sure. So yeah, Sailor Moon is great. The thing is, I hate Sailor Moon, but I love Usagi. It's a weird parallel. Because, yeah, Usagi's great. My hobbies are sleeping and taking the easy way out to Usagi. Then she turns into Sailor Moon, and her weapons are Sonic Tears. And Moon Tiara Boomerang is great.
Sonic Tears?
Yeah, she cries, and it's Sonic Waves that defeat the because she's a terrible superhero.
Well, I mean, it's better than the Red Dot in the Red Dot game, so.
Yeah.
7-Up's Red Dot had its own game.
What?
You know that little red dot on a 7-Up can? It had its own game.
Well, that's stupid.
Yep.
Possible game, you play a square.
Clearly. The impossible game?
It's a rhythm
roll?
Platformer.
Okay. Oh, man. What is it? Rhythm Heaven? I need to play that game sometime. Anyway.
So, yeah, Sailor Moon is great and available on Hulu. I recommend you watch it.
I was considering
it. I tell you there is no... The dub isn't on there
right now.
Yeah,
the dub is not on there yet, but...
I had time to watch stuff on Hulu recently, and I can't remember what I ended up watching, but I was disappointed.
You should join us in being perplexed at the animation of Sailor Moon Crystal. Because they're like 60% waist and 30% limb.
And 10% head.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of other things that I'm watching on a regular basis, so that's why I haven't tried watching the old Sailor Moon at this point.
I've only watched, I think, 4 episodes, but they were great.
Speaking of random anime, did either of you watch the JO analysis of Attack on Titan?
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, well, details.
It seems like step 1 before, you know, JO seems like step 2, and then step 4 is Profit.
I can loan you the first half of the first season.
I could also just watch it.
You could do that too.
I have my methods.
Like Netflix.
Yeah. Then I've been playing lots of League of Legends.
Cool beans. It's been a while since we've had League of Legends be mentioned copiously on this podcast.
Yeah, well, I think I've played like 20 games in the last week.
Oh, wow. That's, wow.
TSM is good.
Yeah, also, the US and Korean finals were this week, so I've been watching lots of League of Legends. And TSM beat Cloud9!
First time Cloud9 has lost a game in the LCS playoffs, and they lost 3 of them to TSM to lose the championship.
It was a good best of five. Went to 5.
All the playoffs were really good this split, except for C9 versus Curse and Curse versus CLG were pretty bad.
And CLG versus Dig was pretty bad.
There were some losing.
Apparently, that CLG just sucks. But
don't go to Korea. It's not the hyperbolic time chamber, it turns out. We thought it was, but...
Say, if there was a country on this planet that is a hyperbolic time chamber...
League of Legends, you would think it would be Korea. But apparently, it just drains all of your talents to channel into Faker, and he plays even better. But his team can't get to Worlds.
Best mid laner in the world.
Best League of Legends player in the world, dude.
Doesn't get to go to Worlds.
Well, you know.
Team too heavy. Faker's backpack not big.
Nunu on Xerath.
I didn't even know that was possible.
Only if you're Faker. And then they're like, ah, oh, Faker Senpai, you're too good. So anyway, lots of watching and playing League of Legends and not getting tired of it. And go TSM! Do us proud at Worlds! Please!
Get out of groups!
Yeah!
We'll take it.
Don't pick Teemo as your ADC and have Dyrus play support.
Teemo is traditionally a support character.
No,
right?
Teemo is traditional a troll character.
Yeah, he's a character everyone hates. He's got global taunt because everyone must kill Teemo.
He's also known as Satan on the forums.
Yeah, no, I remember Ed saying that he needed to get into League because he found his perfect character, so...
Teemo.
He leaves mushrooms that are mines. They explode in poisonous cloud that then dot you. And you buy an item that makes all of your spells get dots. And the dot refreshes every time they were hurt by the dot, and then you cry. But if you find Teemo, you just, like, smash him like he's some sort of rodent, which he is.
Teemo's like playing whack-a-mole.
Oh, man, I think the description of how this character plays might be my favorite League character. I might have to play League just to play Teemo.
He also has a blinding dart, which is annoying.
He's not a particularly good champion, but he has his place in the game. It's just no one is entirely certain where that is.
He is particularly annoying, though.
That's all he is. He's annoying. He's obnoxious, but he's not any good.
So what have you been playing, Tyler?
Not a whole lot of anything, actually. I haven't managed to play any Grandia, which is sad because I actually really like that game. My problem with it is that I'm not sure if this is actually the game or if it's the emulator, but it's like one of those early PS2 or like early N64 era games where like everything's kind of like awkward, blocky claymation style.
Mm-hmm. Like Final Fantasy VII?
Yeah, roughly that caliber. Like, it's slightly better than that, but I think the emulator has issues running it, so if, you, like, one of the levels, or I guess one of the screens you're on has too much on it.
So it'll get really choppy?
But it's not choppy, it just slows down. So, like, it stays smooth animation, but it, like, gets slower, and I don't know.
For like Mega Man 2?
Yeah, actually a lot like Mega Man 2, and it really bugs me in this game and didn't in Mega Man 2, or Mega Man 3.
Whatever.
They're all the same.
But, pretty much, except for Mega Man X.
Mega Man 4 lets you charge your buster, I think.
Mega Man Battle Network is a turn-based tactical RPG with a deck-building element.
It's actually pretty cool.
It is.
But for some reason, like, the slowdown really bugs me, and there's like this weird sound glitch that I'm entirely sure is in the emulator, where in combat, like, there are two layers, because they're all the attacks are voiced, and there's also another sound layer for like all the sound effects, and they don't sync up, and it causes like this weird beeping noise sometimes. And so, I don't know, it's a really, like, the character development is so good that I need to finish playing this game, but I can't play it for too long a stretch because the technical glitches are ugh. If you can find a legitimate copy of it, I highly recommend it. But
Amazon, it's your friend.
It is. You know what else is not my friend? Spending money. Spending money is not my friend.
I mean, that's a concept. It's kind of a concept to be your friend. Well, like, I bet, you know, lust is not your friend.
No, lust is my friend.
Existentialism is not your friend.
Existentialism is very often
to be entirely fair, spending money could also refer to a bunch of money that you have set aside for spending.
That is true. It could be a concrete noun. It wasn't in this case, but it could be. So, I haven't played any Grandia, which is sad. I haven't played any Phoenix Wright, which is also sad. This week has been so busy, I haven't had time to play Phoenix Wright, which is a game that you can play in, like, 3-minute chunks. I have played a fair amount of Professor Layton, and I got all the, like, add-on games for the DS, so I have something to spend my coins on that is not collecting puzzles. They're surprisingly good. One of them is a side-scrolling shooter, which is, I don't know, it's a pretty typical side-scrolling shooter, but
is it like a Mega Man pew-pew scroll strategy?
Oh, sorry, no, it's more like a Gradius.
Okay. I'm a spaceship man, and I'm gonna pew-pew you.
And the color of the people's shirt you get on Street Pass determines on which weapons you get on that run. So, and the more people you have, the more weapons you get to fire simultaneously, which is kinda neat. And you can link different colors together for different weapon effects. You have, like, 4 slots to put people, and if you have more than 4 people, you can put, like, an orange and a brown in the same slot, and it becomes, like, combined orange-brown power.
So, like, the, that one Kirby Crystal game.
Yes. Very similar to Crystal Shards in that particular respect. One of them is, Warrior's Way, which is basically rock, paper, scissors with giant medieval armies. It's interesting. You basically go around conquering countries and try to guess which...
We're going to the land of Rockia.
Well, they aren't actually rock, paper, scissors. It works a lot like, that one game, Fire Emblem.
Where axes beat lances, and lances beat swords, and swords beat axes, and magic is the best.
Yes. In this, it's lances beat cavalry, cavalry beats archers somehow, and archers beat lance guys, but,
cavalry beats archers?
Yeah, somehow.
That actually makes sense.
They run them down.
Theoretically. So, and you, get 3 turns to deploy, and you have to split up your entire army between being mounted units, arching units, or stabby guys. So, and, then try to guess which one you're gonna deploy. So, I mean, it's a fairly simple game, but it's amusing, and the animation is hilarious, so. I've yet to actually street pass anyone since I got any of these games, so I'm not really sure. They all work slightly differently if you have an actual person instead of the random cat mercenaries they keep hiring. The last one is actually unexpectedly my favorite. You, like, wander a Luigi's Mansion-style mansion, but in order to go new places, you have to street pass people, and they have, like, Tetris-style pieces of a map that you have to lay down on a grid.
Huh.
And if you match colors together to form squares, there are treasures in them, and you get to pick up weapons of different types. And then every time you lay down a new piece, you go to the room that new piece forms on the map. And there's a chance that you fight a ghost of some variety in there, and you have to, like, shoot it with your lasers, and you have, like, it works a lot like a Phantasy Star, actually.
Huh.
Except the movement is automated.
Is it a box ghost?
Oh, sorry, Phantasy Star Online, not Phantasy Star the...
I know, so your strength does, makes you do more damage with ranged weapons?
Yep.
With your guns?
Yep.
You have to be super strong so your machine guns can kill things.
Also, your guns level up. So you gain experience by killing ghosts, but the experience goes to whatever your currently equipped weapon is. And some weapons can charge, and some weapons have,
So like the Arnold PG. The G stands for governor.
But it was surprisingly cool. Unfortunately, I have owned this, I now think, for 3 weeks, and I have yet to street pass anyone. I wandered both through a mall and through, like, a popular chain restaurant at the same time. Didn't get a single...
Wait, you Kagebushin that?
Yes. The same day, I went through, like, a Noodles & Company, where I normally get street passes, and also a mall. And the last time I went through the mall, I got, like, 6 or 7. And no one carries a 3DS on them.
That's because they're charging their 3DS in preparation for a brawl that's been enshrined in the ancient supercharge station. So it'll be like a super creeper for preying Super Smash Bros. 4 when it comes out.
When does that due out anyway?
End of the month.
Oh, okay. End so it'll be the so it's October. End of October?
The DS one is October release, and the Wii U one is...
I think it's the beginning of October, like October 1st.
Yeah, I think you're correct, but...
Either way, it's soon. Then I get to listen to you guys talk about Brawl.
Well, it's not Brawl, it's Light Brawl.
It needs a subtitle, so I stopped calling it Brawl and realizing that's a mistake. Or we can just pretend Brawl never happened.
Yep.
I think I'm okay with that. I mean, Brawl and I had some okay times, but turned out she was crazy and not really stable.
But she did this one thing with her Ike.
Yeah, but at the same time, Melee was so dependable, and she was good with finances, had a steady job.
Pretty quick wit.
Yeah, my mom hated her, which was a good sign.
Brawl introduced Ike, who is easily my favorite Smash character.
It also brought Meta Knight, though. And
Snake. It brought Snake.
Snake is fun. Everyone... Meta Knight's like, I'm a press B. Hey, I won!
And he's coming back, so.
Hopefully he'll be balanced this time.
Details.
Oh, I remember a game I forgot to talk about.
Oh?
I've been playing Hearthstone.
Oh, okay.
I played through the first two levels of the solo adventure.
Oh, I forgot they added a solo adventure to that.
Yeah, it's got pretty good humor, like a Blizzard game. Really good UI. I fought Loetheb.
Is it still a free-to-play game?
Yes.
I might have to pick it up now that they have a single-player mode.
The single-player is not unlocked by default. You can pay $20 for it, or you can unlock it with in-game currency.
Okay.
I believe for the rest of the month, the first level unlocks automatically, but it was only supposed to be last month, and every time I log in, they're like, hey, log in soon if you want this for free.
Okay.
So presumably it's ending soon?
Oh, that was one of the other things. I played more Professor Layton. There were puzzles. I solved them.
I think you mentioned that.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, well, redundancy is good.
Yeah, well,
if Professor Sailor Pluto had another planet she could call on for power, she wouldn't be in this mess. Anything else, Tyler?
Nah. No, that's pretty much it. Zach, what you been doing with Vigima Games?
I got stuck heading up too far into Wyoming for a while, but...
Yeah, where did you actually have to go in Wyoming?
Rock Springs.
Oh, God, that's way the hell out there.
Yeah. Second town before you hit Utah.
I know.
There are Gorons out there, though.
Alas, no, nothing so interesting. The town we were in...
Gorons aren't very interesting. A terrible conversation was to eat rocks.
The town we were in, there was one three-story building. So I had to go out there. I didn't actually take my 3DS or anything, so I didn't actually get any gaming done on Wednesday or Thursday, really. But when I got back, played a lot of League of Legends, watched the finals of League of Legends. I didn't do the OGN stuff because I have not actually ever watched the finals in OGN.
It was Najin White Shield is suddenly a team and they beat everyone tremendously and everyone's like, huh, where were these guys the entire season?
Played some Payday with you and Ed. But I think the highlight of it was on Monday rather than our normal game. Because Cody was unavailable.
And TSM won!
And TSM won, so we got to rub it in Kevin's face for a little while since he's a C9 fan. We played League of Legends as a unit. Me, Kevin, Jeremy, and Jason. So me, Jeremy, and Kevin had to figure out a way to carry Jason as our AD carry.
Jason in the super heavy scrub of doom that we found.
God, that gnar was so bad.
You would have been better than the first scrub we found.
Yeah!
But I finally played the first game I've ever played against people on Yasuo, who is probably one of my favorite champions to play. I just have not really played him against people because he's a mid laner. I don't play a lot of mid lane. But yeah, this scrub let their top laner get super fed, so it was a 1v, or not a 1v1. We figured out how to deal with it pretty fast. But he built two Randuins!
Yeah, he's
they don't
really
stack!
I don't know what Randuin does.
Two giant shields, which are the same item, and they don't stack with each other.
That's sad.
Yes, it was. And
so we had
like,
to carry
so
him.
Heavy.
I was going to say, I think one of the biggest things about League and what might actually get me interested in it is that the metagame actually seems more interesting than the game itself. Knowing which hero to avoid, depending on which hero you're playing, seems more interesting than actually playing the game.
You would think, and to an extent, that's pretty much what it is. But because in solo, you don't actually know what you're going to get in terms of teammates. So
that is true.
Swapping lanes around to avoid a rough matchup doesn't happen because people won't do it.
That's sad.
And people kind of suck. So you're better off probably trying to play into a hard matchup and do as the best you can rather than trying to get away from it.
I agree. But then also if you see what your opponent's going to pick first, which happens in pick and ban, you can do the counter pick. Assuming you know how to play the counter pick and you know what the counter pick is.
Yeah, so, and that seems way more interesting to me than actually playing the game. But
as a spectator, that's super interesting. But like Zach said, sometimes in solo queue, it doesn't matter, or it's better just to play your best champion. And even if you're in a bad matchup, you just learn more about the matchup. I mean, that's why Faker is the best. He wins every matchup, and he plays terrible champions and still 1v9s.
And then on Tuesday, since I took the day off after Labor Day, I got the support icon. I played a lot of really good games, I feel, on Nami. I had one game I had a really bad AD carry, but I managed to carry him to Fedness.
he was relatively full.
Well, the game ended on a team fight where I managed to zone out half the enemy team with my ultimate as me and an ally were split pushing, and we ran through the bulk of their team to our allies. And then we managed to turn the fight around.
That actually sounds really dramatic.
Well, it was pretty dramatic during the game, but I mean, describing it doesn't really.
The giant wave that is the Nami ult knocking people up.
Well, it didn't even knock them up. It didn't even hit anybody. It was just.
You just had to run away from it.
Yeah, I threw it down so they couldn't actually pass through because they were trying to come in through the jungle to catch us on a side lane. I managed to force them to avoid that, and we managed to win the game. Overall, yeah. I'm getting back into playing a lot more League. I'm doing a lot of team builder stuff because I want to get the icons.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. I just got the last one yesterday. I also lost 5 out of my 5 game yesterday.
Icons?
Yeah, they're just like avatars, basically, that you unlock.
Mm-hmm. There's one for like support, marksman, which is AD carry, fighter, tank, you know. I've got the tank one and the support one unlocked because I don't play a lot of mage and I don't play a lot of assassins or anything like that because those are guys that are mostly in mid lane. But I got the tank one by playing the unkillable tree, which was a lot of fun because I got grabbed.
So he's Groot.
Yeah. He's like super angry Groot, though. He is enraged that he's become sentient and wishes he was just a regular tree and blames stupid noobs using magic all the time.
For waking him up. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I got grabbed, pulled into the enemy team, and just kind of walked back out.
He also is hit like a tree.
But he doesn't have any damage, so he needs some help from other people to deal his damage.
So basically, he's a tank.
Yeah, he's a full-fledged
tank. With a lot of crowd control. His ultimate is he reduces all damage to him and nearby allies by like 70%. And stores it up to redirect at enemies.
Oh, that's
it's
cool.
It's so good.
Yeah, and when he pops it, it can hurt, like, a lot.
Does that include damage taken from, like, towers or something?
It ignores towers. That is, the one problem with it.
I was going to say, you could just, like, go stand by a tower for a second.
I still do that. It's just that I can survive tower for a certain amount, and they can't kill me because my ult is on. It's also got, like, a 30-second cooldown in the last 10 seconds. It's so good right now.
Yeah, like, he probably needs a little bit of a love tap on the nerf, but they're probably not going to do anything to him until after Worlds.
They wanted the Worlds patch to be out a month before the World Championships, which are in like 3 weeks, so probably not going to be much patching balance-wise for a while.
Played a lot of it, having a lot of fun.
Oh, and there was double XP weekend last weekend, which was
our
nice.
Double IP weekend, double XP weekend. They had some lag problems during it, but they've been having some problems.
They've been hit really bad by the DDoSes with Lizard Squad and all that.
You know those guys? Okay, so I was looking into it because I just heard about these guys. They don't actually do anything.
Yeah?
As far as I can tell, it's actually other people, and they just take credit for it
that
most
makes
of the time.
Sense to me.
Either way, the attacks are happening.
That is true. But, like, I don't know, these guys seem to know nothing about computers. And so that makes me wonder whether they're actually the people running DDoS attacks.
They could be telling other people to.
That's
possible. Mean, you don't need any skills to be a manager, right?
That is actually accurate. Like, really, I could run a DDoS attack from that computer in the corner. So, I don't know.
Anything else, Zach?
Not really. A little bit of Civ 5. And, I did buy Age of Empires 3 because it was on a pretty deep discounted sale.
I remember that being a game.
It's harder than I remember it being, but I'm also out of practice in that game. But, yeah, that's pretty much it.
So you build spies and XCOM units in your Civ games? Or
I have
not
gotten
along?
That far. I've never gotten that far. I usually end it when I get infantry.
You need to play on higher difficulties, bro, so you can win by space race.
I usually win by making all other countries wear my blue jeans, but
oh, that's the best way to win Galciv.
Make him wear blue jeans?
And listen to your pop music.
I think they're actually making an official version of Galciv.
They're making Galciv 3. Oh, yeah, and they are making a space Civ. It's closer to Alpha Centauri, which is Sid Meier's Civ in Space game, but they don't have the rights to Alpha Centauri, so they can't call it that. I can't remember what it's going to be called, but yes, they are.
Yeah, it's actually called like Galactic Civilization or something like
that.
No,
it's
on
Civilization
Steam.
5, and then it's got a colon and a second name.
No, as far as I can see, well, there's no...
It might be Galactic Civilizations 3, but that's not being made by Firaxis. It's being made by the people who made Galcit 2.
No, there is one that just says, like, Galactic Civilization in pre-access or early access.
Yes.
It's just called Galactic Civilization. There's no 3 on it. It just says Galactic Civilization or something like that.
That is Galactic Civilization 3, though. They're rebooting the numbers already.
I'm still mad at Fast and the Furious 6.
Oh, for not being Furious 6?
Yeah, so good.
Well, that one's going to be really tricky for them to do since one of their lead actors died.
Well, no, he died after the filming was done, though.
No, because they were talking about that there was still shots that they had to do for the film.
Yeah, I think they had to do pickups, so I think they wrote around them, which they typically do. Robin Williams' last movie is going to be Night at the Museum 3. That's a travesty.
God.
I'm sorry, listeners. I know you didn't deserve to hear that. But the truth is harsh sometimes.
At least it was playing Theodore Roosevelt, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good role to go out on, I guess. You know what would be a bad way to go out?
Being killed by a spy?
No, being crushed by an elevator.
Oh, God.
Like, especially if it was slow and, like, the elevator technician was trying to save you, but the weight just kept increasing and slowly compressing on your chest. You were coughing up blood, and then you were smashed to death.
That's rather morbid.
Why exactly are we talking about this?
We played elevator action. That's one of the actions you can take. Also, it's a way you can die.
And a way you can kill people, so... So elevator action is a game about a redheaded spy stealing documents.
He looks like Jimmy Olsen in 3 years.
He does.
Maybe he got the claw from Batman. There's actually this kind of cool opening sequence where he shoots a claw onto, like, the top of a building and you, like, rappel onto it.
Although
from somewhere.
That noise that he makes when getting onto it,
Yeah, the noises in this game aren't great. I recommend listening to a podcast like Sailor Business while you play.
Or Ranger Danger?
Ranger Danger, also good.
I feel like there needs to be a Sailor Moon Power Rangers crossover.
The guys who do Super Sentai did a Sailor Moon live action series.
Oh, really?
Sadly, there isn't a Sailor Moon Zord that, like, with... Where Suri's like, I'll form the tiara! And the tuxedo mask isn't the sixth one who comes up and covers them with a top hat, and that's his sword, because that would be the best. And it's proof that we live in a cruel world where things are sad.
Or maybe like a lapel rose or something.
The roses thing was added to the anime, though.
Oh, was it?
It's
okay.
Not in the original. So Sailor Moon Crystal has no rose throwing, which is sad.
And I'll form the top hat!
Yeah! We can't have nice things, though.
So elevator action is...
You start on the 30th floor, you get in an elevator, and you have to, like, make your way down to the bottom. There are spies that come out of doors on the way, and you have, I guess, sort of 3 actions. You can shoot them, you can duck, and you can jump. And you have to do that to avoid bullets. Usually, ducking is the best way, but if they crouch, you have to jump their bullets.
Thankfully, they do it fairly infrequently. However, it is dangerous, because, like you said, I duck more often than I jump, and... Most of the time I died is because I didn't realize they were ducking instead of dying.
Can you duck on elevators? Because it didn't feel like
no,
I could
no.
duck.
No, you can't duck on elevators.
Just making sure.
You can just change floors, which is also an effective way of dodging shots. You can control elevators while you're on them, but there are no call buttons. You just have to wait. Also, there are a lot of elevators in these buildings. Like, what are these for? Are these secret spy buildings?
Well, they must be given how many spies are just popping out of the doors.
Is this just an effective way of dispose of corpses? You crush them under the elevators?
This is
they don't have any body bags.
This is actually a generic spy corporation. Like, you know how villains always have, like, hordes of plants somewhere? This is actually where they hire them all from. This is actually the corporate headquarters for Generic Spy Inc.
Ah.
Which makes a certain amount of sense. So as you go down, there are
spies while you wait.
There are doors that are different colors. You can go into them.
They're red. You find secret documents and get points. According to the instructions, you have to go into all of them to finish the level. But Tyler said you didn't.
You totally don't.
But, you know, there's really no point to the game if you ignore the doors you're trying to get to, because then you're just going down. Buildings are sort of tiered. The beginning is just an elevator you can take straight down. Then they start adding in some escalators, so you have to get to the sides of rooms. Sometimes a floor will have a wall in the middle, so you have to go up a floor or down a floor to
get
to the other side. And you can take cover from bad guys on the other
side
of walls.
I didn't see a single wall until the second building I was in.
Huh.
I most certainly did see one on the first building.
The buildings are pseudo-randomly generated.
Yeah.
I could not really tell what was random and what was fixed. Like I said, there are definitely tiers of things where it starts with just the elevator and then the escalators. Then there are like these rooms that it's all dark and they're usually... sort of zigzag mazes. You can only go up and down on the left side and the right side, so you have to get to the other side. And then there's this kind of cool part at the end that's just elevators that are, like, asynchronous, and you have to get to the bottom and, like, get on a certain one to escape without getting crushed.
And you can't really tell which one you have to get on, so sometimes you ride one all the way to the bottom and, like, go crap and have to go all the way back up, dodge spy fire on the way back, and go on to a different one.
Probably the most exciting part of the game, because it has the most going on. Then you escape in your car, and you do it again in a slightly more purple building.
Is it always slightly more I thought it was a random color every time.
The second one was always purple for me. I don't know if it's just random or what. Like, the first one doesn't have any discernible tint to me. Maybe just first one, so I consider it the base.
It's color-colored.
Yeah, I like that color.
Easily the most satisfying action you can do in this game is if spies get under an elevator or on, just crushing them is amazing. One of my biggest problems, though, is that the death animation for both you and the spies actually have the same death animation. It involves going to the crouch frame and then, like, rolling around on your back like a turtle who can't get up for a couple
Help,
seconds.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Unfortunately, when you shoot spies, you can't tell immediately whether you've actually killed them. I had issues with, like, the bullets detecting hits sometimes, so I would just kind of mash fire until everything was dead. But sometimes I couldn't tell whether something was actually dead when I was trying to run away, so it Yeah. Or if they were just crouching and they're going to shoot while crouching.
Enemies also spawn slowly but infinitely.
This can be a problem if you've cleared out a floor and we're going into one of those red doors we mentioned earlier, and then they spawn. They can actually exist in such a way that they can place a bullet right at the door when you walk out of it, and there's nothing you can do to dodge it.
But the bigger problem, I think, is because there's only one enemy type and they're just sort of littered all over the level. The game has really bad pacing, and while the way you navigate changes as the level changes a little bit, there are only really four states the level is in, and really you only have elevators or escalators as your movement type, and so the game is kind of too simple.
Yeah, I think that
there's just not enough going on.
Yeah, the biggest problem with this game is I think that it's boring, and we were brainstorming ideas on how to make it better.
It's not even really boring. Like, as an arcade game, this would be fine, because you'd put a quarter in, and maybe you'd put, like, four quarters in to see how far you could get before you get everything out of it. And I do think it's good or an arcade game in that I think if you master this game, you can play it for a year on a single quarter.
I think you could. I never got a game over.
And I think that's indicative of good design, but it doesn't have enough changing up to feel like a good NES game. I think every other NES game, in fact, that we've played has been beyond this. Even Pac-Man has a little more going on with the increase of difficulty. This is probably better than Dig Dug in my mind.
Yeah, I really couldn't get into it. I was just determined to play for as long as I could. And when
turns
I died,
out not very long.
Well, when I died, I was like, "Oh, I died. Oh no!" And then I respawned. And went, I got another life. God dang it! I have to keep playing.
The respawns are very generous. At least you respawn almost right where you die. What could the game have done to engage you better?
Give me more things I can do.
Yeah, that is a little tricky since you only have two buttons and. They give you two things to do, but Mario feels like you have more things to do.
You're moving more.
You have more variety of challenge. In Mario, you have enemies to jump over, you have pipes to jump over, you have pits to jump over, and that's all jumping, but they all feel different.
You're not typically waiting for the elevator to go down. You're just standing around waiting for the thing to drop.
So, different types of obstacles. And actually, Zach just mentioned this, waiting on elevators to come back. If you're like at a spot where you need to change elevator tracks, waiting for it to come back down to you can be really annoying sometimes.
That can also add tension, though, if you're like trying to get away from a group of bad guys.
I never felt any tension when playing this game. Yeah. I was never really in trouble. I got killed because I stopped caring.
You also didn't care when you died, though. I mean, you're like,
that's why I died, is because I stopped caring.
Well, how can there be tension if you don't care about it, though?
They clearly needed to make a reason for you to care.
I think part of the part, you move very slowly considering.
I didn't really find that to be.
And there's no limiter. It's just you keep moving and you keep shooting. So every time a guy would pop out of a door, he'd instantly die.
Yeah, that's one of the things I suggested is like having a limit on your ammo. So you're more.
There's this sort of interesting mechanic where as they're opening the door, they use the door as like cover. And you can't shoot through it.
No, but you can just keep hitting fire until they close the door.
Well, you can, but if there are enemies behind them, they will shoot you, and you have to dodge bullets. It's not, like, super intense, but it is an interesting feature. But it's one of the few interesting situations, and it doesn't happen all that often. Because usually enemies are already there. They're not spawning.
Yeah, I didn't even know they could use the door as cover. And I got through
three. I never noticed.
Worth. I feel like incentivizing movement over bullets might have been interesting, because then you had to choose when you shoot people. Or maybe just different types of enemies, like some enemies don't have guns, but they wait for you at staircases or something.
Yeah, I think different enemy behaviors, like the ghosts. Maybe if there were just four spies through the maze that acted differently, like one set traps, one just tried to gun you down, that sort of thing. That might be interesting.
I think that would be, or one just followed you as close as he could while other people tried to gun you down. I think that would make this way more interesting.
I definitely agree.
Actually, one thing that I would like to see in this, but I think would probably have been impractical on this system, is you have one C4 where you can just blow through a roof
once. Yeah, I was thinking that too. Like, that's an interesting puzzle element, but then you have to increase the difficulty to make that an enticing option. That instead of, oh, hey, this room spawned in sort of a hard way to get through, guess I'll C4 it.
But I think they could have added items that you could, like, use select to cycle through.
There's a Game Boy version that adds power-ups, like a machine gun and a shotgun. I don't know what the shotgun does.
That would definitely help matters, is if it gave you just stuff that you were able to do.
But the thing is, a machine gun isn't really a new thing to do. You just fire faster.
It feels different, though. And I think that might be enough.
Mario, you don't have an attack, so the fireballs are this new thing to do. They are a new way to interact with enemies, and they make certain obstacles in the game easier. Just firing faster, I don't know if it has that same effect. Like, it's a thing to go for, so if they put it in a dangerous location, that could be interesting. But again, they then have to create dangerous locations.
There needs to be enough danger in the game to warrant taking the risk to have a better weapon.
Yeah.
As it stands, there isn't. I think that's really this game's biggest problem, is we've been spoiled with more complex games.
I don't even know if I'd say spoiled. Games have just evolved beyond this point. But as an arcade game, I think it's similar to Pac-Man in that it rewards you for mastery. Pac-Man just has more interesting enemies and creates tenser situations. Pac-Man's also more difficult, and I honestly think difficult games are more interesting. There is a degree at which you get too difficult or unfairly difficult. Like, Ghosts and Goblins is just enemies are spawning on you and it sucks. But Castlevania is incredibly interesting because the enemies always react predictably, and you're just trying to get through this maze, even though it's really hard. And once you know how to do it, you can always do it if you repeat your motions.
By that same token, though, I think that a game can be interesting and also very easy. I think they just had to present it differently.
Yeah, but I think most games that are like that, the game isn't what you're interested in, really.
Yeah, I would say that's probably
true. Like, Gone Home is a game where you can't fail, but the interesting part of that game is exploring that world and figuring out what's going on.
Or To the Moon. The entire point of the game is figuring out what this relationship between these two very strange people are, while also trying to reconstruct his past. It's not difficult, but...
Or even Walking Dead. Walking Dead feels super difficult because you're like, oh god, what do I say in this terrible situation?
How did you
situation?
Feel about that game, by the way?
I forgot to mention that.
You played Walking Dead and you didn't tell me?
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. It should have been last week.
Okay, don't play Elevator Action. We're ending this podcast talking about Walking Dead. How much did you play?
Not super far. I'm just getting ready to go out of the pharmacy to go save Glenn.
Okay, so near the end of the first episode.
Yeah.
So I guess not that far.
But thus far, I'm really liking it, so, I mean, go figure, but...
What did you say to Clementine in the barn?
Wait, what?
Where she's like, smells like, and you...
Oh, I think I said manure.
Okay.
Why?
That just comes back cutely, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Does she, like, start saying things smell like manure later?
You go
something?
To another barn later, and Duck says, hey, it smells like, and she says whatever you said, and Kenny is right there. So if you said, then, she'll go, smells like, and Kenny gives you this look. And but if you say manure, Duck is like, what's manure?
Well, screw Duck.
Yeah.
Oh, also, I chose to save him instead of Herschel's son.
Yeah, that's
like
the right
clearly correct choice.
I mean,
I figured the other guy could handle himself for a couple
seconds. The
other
guy dies no matter what, and Duck always lives. That's not a false choice exactly, because Kenny's opinion of you is very colored by what you do there.
Yeah, so I chose to save Duck because I figured he needed more
help. Slow-moving zombies that appear out of nowhere. They're ninja zombies. They just kind of show up.
I think that's why they're ninjas, is because they're so slow, they don't make any noise.
Yeah, I think the idea is they're so slow, no one is vigilant. Also, this is the beginning of the apocalypse.
Yeah, they're not trained
yet. It's a wide-open field. You can't miss them.
I agree. Although they were doing other things. Ducky was being annoying on a tractor, and the other guy was, like, crouched looking at wood. So
he's looking at wood through a slat wood fence.
Details. I don't even think
he's
it's
nearsighted, and his glasses.
I don't even think it's slat.
City.
I think it's just like three.
No, it's like that's,
bars.
That's what I was thinking. It's just the three wood things with big, you know.
Yeah, there's
like
no
foot gap. There's no way to miss that.
I agree. There's really no way he should have possibly not seen that coming. Although it's mostly that they came after he got stuck under a tractor, so it was horrible timing. It really seemed like a silly dilemma to me. It should have never happened in the first place.
Have you done the radio puzzle yet? I can't remember. That's before or after you get to save Glenn.
That doesn't seem familiar, so.
You can do it before or after, I think.
I'm at the point where I'm trying to find the damn key to the pharmacy back office, and I'm pretty sure it's on the main character's, is this too spoilery for
It's episode one of a game that's over a year old.
So I'm pretty sure it's on the main or the bodies of the main character's parents, but I don't have any option to like go say I want to examine the corpses. So the internet tells me you have to save Glenn before being able to do that. So
yeah,
puzzle for the radio must be behind that or after that.
Yeah, I can't remember. I thought you did it before, but I honestly don't remember.
I still want an option where I could have just shot that guy at the end of the episode.
Oh, well.
Just saying. You
should have played the second one.
It's not worth my time.
That is so not true. But anyway, play Walking Dead. Don't play
elevator action.
Tyler, what are we playing next, Jack?
Well, because I saw Naruto, I think we need more ninjas in our diet. So I think we're going to play Legend of Kage, which was a game for the NES in, I think, 1984 or something to that effect.
One of many ninja games on the NES.
It's almost like the Japanese like ninjas or something. But this one actually looks pretty cool because you can like fly from tree branch to tree branch.
Like a squirrel.
Yes, you are a flying ninja squirrel. And it's available on, I think, just the Wii Virtual Console. I don't think there's anything else that has it. So
the next time on Last Time, Flying Squirrel no Jutsu. This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2014.
All the video games and other media mentioned herein are copyright of their respective owners.
Unfortunately, I don't own Square Enix. You can contact us at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com, or Tyler at lasttimeonvideogames.com,
or Jeremy, G-E-R-E-M-Y, @lasttimeonvideogames.com.
And the best one, Zach, @lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Our primary source of interaction is lasttimeonvideogames.com, where you can find all sorts of written material in addition to the podcast.
If you want to follow us on Google+, plus.google.com/plus/lasttimeonvideogames.
If you're one of those weird people who uses Twitter, we are @LTOVG.
Quick press X. Too late. You failed. The podcast is over.